Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast, and this week is an Alien Covenant special. Why is it special? Because we've got three of the cast of Alien Covenant banging on about the film. We've got Michael Fassbender, Catherine Waterston, and Billy Crudup. But we've also got Ridley Scott on the podcast.
Yeah. And us.
Oh yeah, and you guys.
Who am I? What is my name?
Extra
again?
Special.
Got Dale Driver.
Hello.
And we've got Daniel Cooper.
Hello.
And I'm Gav Murphy. There will be spoilers later on in the episode, but we'll let you know when that's going to happen.
There'll be a klaxon and everything.
There'll be a klaxon, but we're going to kick off with the cast talking. So it's really, really good. There's no spoilers at all, but Fassbender does talk a lot about farts.
You sure about this, Captain?
How do you mean?
I really don't know what the fuck's out there. Oh, great.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to me today, guys, even though you've got terrible gas.
Yeah.
So the film is... the film is basically a horror film.
Broccoli.
That's right. These, like, celebrity, like, diets, I'm sure they have it with your cola and stuff.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of your celebrity
diets. Do you have a celebrity diet?
Do you use
probiotics? No, but I have the same thing for breakfast every morning. If you want to hear it, I'm more than happy
absolutely
to fill up
go
your time.
It, yeah.
Bowl of porridge made with almond milk or water.
Mm-hmm. Nuts, tell berries, honey.
Is porridge oatmeal?
Yeah, oatmeal, okay, same thing. Yeah. And then...
what about the concoction?
Please don't interrupt.
The drinking. The thing you drink. Oh, what well, you got me into on
yeah,
set.
This morning I had spinach, cucumber, beetroot, which is good for oxygenizing the...
That doesn't sound too far-inducing, though.
Yeah.
No,
bit of lemon juice. I just... Yeah.
What's the other thing? The apple cider vinegar and the weird plums?
Oh, yeah, I haven't done that in a while. That was Janina,
Ridley's
wife, that put me onto that.
The
plum
thing,
I haven't done that in a while.
Plum and apple cider vinegar and something else, and you drink it, and then you like it seems like you're going to spit fire.
That's right.
It's
and
good.
Then three eggs,
nice
avocado, chilies.
That's where the farts come
in. Toast. Could be the chilies.
Yeah.
Could be the chilies. Or that flight that I was on for a long time.
Oh,
never
can,
eat the plane.
Don't
food.
Eat on the plane.
That's just number one rule.
I'd like to see like a story from like TMZ or something of like Michael Fassbender farting on a plane coming.
Trust me, if I farted right now, everybody would be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Judging by that test.
So you just hold
that
it
test
in.
Launch that I had this morning.
What was scarier, working on Alien or holding in a fart?
I'm more scared now, honestly. Of your gas.
You should be. what's more difficult, sorry?
Holding in a fart or working on Alien. What was scarier?
Depends on the day and who I was working with. If I was working with myself, which I do in the movie, it's
that's true.
An absolute dream. Absolute dream. These guys?
Too fast for them having a big fart off. That's good.
Depends. Probiotics have changed my life, I have to say that.
Okay. And I mean, it is basically a horror film.
That's right.
Like, to get off the fart slightly. Yeah. I mean,
well,
if you want to
be horrific,
Jesus, can we get off
please.
The fart?
Jesus.
But, like, what did the alien look like on set?
We did have a dude dressed up in a white sort of...
The amazing Tom.
Yeah. You like that guy, didn't you?
There was this contortionist. He was incredible. He was about 6'5" and he weighed maybe 10 pounds. Yeah. And then they put him in a suit to make him, to exaggerate his wiriness. So it really didn't look like a human being in there at all. Yeah. It was wonderful to see. But then also, sometimes it was just like an amazing sort of former gymnast stunt guy crawling around on the ground chasing us or something. Yeah. And that was
That wasn't even when the cameras were rolling.
Yeah, that was just for me. Keep an eye on this guy.
It's like a scene out of the Pink Panther. He'd just jump at you. You know, the keto surprise. It could come from anywhere. You know, the great thing about working on a Ridley Scott movie, with Ridley, he really does create the environment, doesn't he? So you're on a spaceship. You're walking around a spaceship.
Yeah.
You know, so if there is an alien creature, he will do his best to present something as close to that as possible.
Yeah. A complete installation. Yeah. He does art installations. I mean, every single one. It's unbelievable. Right, exactly.
Yeah. And every day he'd get to set and he'd be like, this could be in a fucking gallery.
Exactly. He's like, and we need four of them a day. You know, he's like, really, the construction that goes into the design is unlike anything I've been a part of before. I mean,
because he comes from sort of art background and you can see that. I think he gets a lot of, you know, satisfaction out of that himself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's also got all the cinematic tools. So every time, you know, he gives something to us as a, you know, benefit to us having the alien guy kind of walking around too. There's a million other components that are going into it that, you know, he's creating the special effects at the same time. That's all I have to say. I don't have the cinematic vocabulary that Ridley does, but if you see his movies, you'll see what I'm talking about.
I hope that's how you end every sentence, and that's all I have to say about
it. I usually end it with the end. Yeah. Steve Martin once said, some people have a way with words, some not have way.
The Xenomorph takes over like traits from someone that, like when the facehugger lays an egg, the Xenomorph from that then takes traits from that thing. If a Xenomorph took over you guys, what traits would it take?
Farting.
Ability.
Like one gassy alien. Huh?
I would say like supreme masculinity.
The best possible biological weapon ever.
Just a testosterone, you know, creature.
Yeah, I don't want to say God.
Look out for Billy Crudup xenomorph. That,
no,
probably easy to tear. It would be the only alien who would go to eat some and go, I can't do it.
Yeah. I'm vegetarian.
Yours would be farting then, would it?
No, I want to get off that sort of... I don't want to put that image of myself out there. Come back. What would I have?
You can't make that noise. And then you just can't let yourself go.
I'd have a dancing...
Dancing.
Yeah.
Can you dance?
Can I dance?
Yeah. You asked the wrong question, sir.
I don't know. I like to do it.
Okay.
Whether it's good or not, it's irrelevant. That's what somebody told me once.
I don't fully understand the question. So the idea is that it's a trait, some trait you have,
A dominant trait of yours.
Don't think too hard about this one.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, it wouldn't be that terrifying to see, but they're probably kind of like klutzy alien. I'm pretty klutzy. I still haven't really come into my height, you know, so I bonk my head a lot on things.
I love it. So we've got a vegetarian.
A weepy vegetarian.
A
gassy dancer.
And a clumsy
alien. Headbanging.
It'd be pretty easy to deal with us, I guess.
I need to see this film.
Not that scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it gives the humans a fighting chance against our aliens. These guys are all screwed, you know.
Was it hard for you coming to like a brand new cast, like the same film series?
Do you know what I wondered about this? I wondered if he was on set all the time being like, yeah, man, the Prometheus cast was so much better.
He did a lot of this.
The Prometheus.
This would never happen on Prometheus.
What'd you say? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Not at all.
Were you sort of like the person that people look to as like, you know, the sort of... the elder on the crew then for like guidance and things.
No,
he
I
did
think
seem when you've a lot older Ridley, than the rest of us.
Yeah, that's,
you know?
This is true again. Get back to the age thing. I think, you know, with Ridley, it's just everybody's very excited and psyched to be on his set. And not only the actors, but you see that with the whole crew.
Yeah.
We got on straight away. We all sort of, you know, again, that we were out in Milton Sound, which is a great place for us to all start. Because it's the most beautiful location in New Zealand. It's very isolated.
Isn't it called Milford?
Milford Sound.
What did you say?
Milford Sound.
You wish. You said Milton.
I don't remember what happened.
We got along really well.
I will say
this. Great.
We got along great until this moment.
How long has left?
Does this mean every time?
All of us.
Same on set.
All of us were, by the way, all of us were riffing off what he had already done in
right.
Prometheus. So whether or not that it was like deferential on set, you had already set up, you know, the kind of language that was going to be used in like the realism and how we played off each other and who that character was.
Yeah. We went fishing in one of the first
days. Oh, yeah,
days
we did. It was phenomenal.
Oh, it was for a long time.
Yeah, it was
gone
great.
For hours.
Little
yeah.
fishing was getting there and getting back. Was
yeah, I don't think we caught any. Yeah, yeah. We didn't catch anything.
I definitely didn't catch
no,
anything.
No.
Michael Robbins did catch.
I remember he caught that huge one right next to the...
That's right. Yeah.
Did you guys eat it?
We did.
We
that
did,
one,
yeah.
Yeah, that one they cooked up because there was no stores. They had to fly stuff in, or if you caught something, you ate it.
Yeah. He was a hero.
Very
remote.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not guessing you guys wouldn't starve it. That's what you
No, no, no. They brought in a lot of food. We were okay.
Yeah,
I don't want to set the wrong impression.
Well, when we performed well, they fed us.
Yeah. That's right. Yes.
I realized I had what my food allergy was.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, the vegetable.
Milford. You're right. I did say Milton.
Wait,
I just did it there.
Oh, they made up. They made up.
Well, maybe you didn't. She put it in your hands.
She's done it again.
That always sounds beautiful to me whenever I hear that. Those words, she's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I never get used to it.
And you're like, of course.
So
yeah. You're so used to it.
It's nice of you to catch
up. I heard Milford.
Thank you.
Oh, ass kisser.
Yeah, Milford.
But you look great.
Oh, man. Just can't trust him.
What was the question?
Were you always going to do Alien Covenant when you signed on for David? Was that always a plan with you and Ridley, or... did it come just after Prometheus?
It came after Prometheus. Then, you know, Ridley, I think, I can't remember when it was, but shortly after Prometheus, Ridley had sort of said, you know, I've got this idea for the next one, and the idea of Walter, and that there was going to be two AIs. I knew that fairly early on. But the script I got fairly, you know, a couple of months, 3 months before we actually started shooting.
Yeah.
But all the time, you know, we'd sort of meet up with Ridley, have a dinner, and we'd be discussing it. So I knew that there was another one definitely in the pipeline.
Was it hard for you, though, to sort of get Sigourney Weaver out of your head to approach your character?
Who's Sigourney Weaver?
I don't Sigourney?
She's
a big deal.
She was...
good stuff.
She was the one that bursts out of the chest.
Nope. She saved the day.
Yep.
She's
about
awesome,
a million
man.
Times.
She wrote a me. She wrote me a note the other day.
She did?
Oh, really?
Did she?
Yeah.
I
saw the email. You know, it's someone forwarded it to me, and I thought, oh man, she saw it, and she's going to say something nice. And then it was like, just best of luck with the opening. It was just
I forgot.
Thinking
I got
of
a
you.
Note from her too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it said
you were
amazing.
My favorite thing in the movie. No, but it was so nice of her.
I forgot about that.
She said something like, too. From one flamethrower to another or something. In home?
Yeah, he wrote a note. We were talking about you.
Yeah, yeah. Billy does like to bring it back to himself. I don't know. It's just a thing.
I haven't noticed.
It's just a thing he does.
I wait, you know, I wait for the right time. So. But back to
but
the
most
note.
Most of the time, it's
back
it's
to the note.
Right
she said good luck.
So that was nice. Yeah, I think she's awesome. One of my first jobs in New York was at her husband's theater.
Okay.
And, nobody came to see it, really. I mean, it was a 40-seat theater, and we ran for a couple of weeks. But she came, and I was just a little squirt hoping to get to do this for the rest of my life. And she said something nice to me at the end of it, and it meant a lot to me at the time. So, I've always
awesome.
Admired her.
That's
and it's sort of it's weird, sort of sweet, random, full circle thing to get to be attempting to fill her her shoes. But I have
job.
Big feet.
That's really
good.
Did you say big feet?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking of like one tall lady's shoes to another tall lady's shoes. They're probably sort of same size shoes. I haven't had enough coffee today.
That's
but
fine.
The point is, yeah, I really admire her and yeah. I loved what she did. And I just tried not to think about it at all yeah. when we were working.
Obviously, a lot of people might not have seen Prometheus, or haven't seen it for a while. Can you guys collectively explain what the plot of Prometheus is in 60 seconds?
Michael comes on.
Yeah.
And
looks really handsome.
You think,
has a great accent.
Sweet, where's this going?
Yeah.
And they kind of set up this idea that in the next movie, there'll be a character named Orym.
Yeah.
Who is who I played. And so most of the movie,
the audience just
my
wondering.
Point to my thinking is leading towards yeah. this conflicted religious zealot. The end.
Yeah. It was going to be called Orym at one point, wasn't it? Alien Orym.
Orym's Covenant.
I've released a box set of Prometheus. They don't let you do that, but I
it's limited, but you know.
It's called
already high demand.
It's called Leading to Orym. Yeah. It's, yeah, terrific. What
limited
would you say it is?
Orym edition.
I honestly think it's creation myth.
Yeah.
You're beginning to study the idea of humanity and creation and how these creation myths throughout our lives have governed the way that we see ourselves and we see the world.
Nerd alert. Nerds in a room.
Don't go fishing for trout in strange waters.
There you are.
Oh. Do you guys remember the first time you saw Alien?
Hell yeah.
I do, yeah.
I mean, it was awful. It was the most disturbing. I didn't sleep. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
I had just that opening sequence, you know, you know it's all a shit show.
Yeah, I just went very quiet. Like, it reminds me of the first time I watched Wonder Woman.
Right.
You know, something different was happening.
Different from Wonder Woman.
Something was happening. Oh. Something different was happening.
No, very similar.
I just remember being very quiet in front of the screen.
Do you know how old you were when you watched
Wonder Woman?
I was 2.
I'm sure you remember Wonder Woman.
No, Wonder Woman, he was 32.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was December 3rd. I was too young when I first saw Alien. My friend's older brother, you know, said, come into the living room, girls, you know, and we tormented us. We saw a lot of movies we shouldn't have seen, at that age because of older brothers. They do that to people for fun in the 80s. I don't know if older brothers still do that.
No, my parents actually did it. Allowed me to sort of watch it, which was unusual for them because they certainly wouldn't let me watch any sort of, you know, just violent-based sort of 18s.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there was loads of them in the 80s, I suppose, you know, all the Arnie films, Sylvester Stallone, stuff like that. But they allowed me to watch this, and I guess I must have been to around 10 or something like that. I just remember... Just again, just another level. It was sort of like Jaws, you know. It stays with you. As a kid, you're watching something quite sophisticated, and it's presented in a very sophisticated way. So it seems real.
Yeah, that's the part of it that killed me because I saw it in the theater when it came out, and it was the fact that the actors were playing realism.
Yeah.
In the context of this fantastical universe, to me was a complete revelation.
Yeah.
And you had some of the best actors working. At that time, you know, who sustained careers over decades doing a million different kinds of genres, all playing the reality of being on this mining ship.
Yeah.
And again, badass. The way that, you know, Ridley presents those sort of things, like the ship that they're on is not glossy, it's not gleaming, it looks like an old cargo ship that's constantly needing repair and maintenance.
And they look tired.
And they look tired and underpaid.
And they're bitching about the union.
And they're using a microwave, which is familiar to us, you know, and then they'll be using things which are futuristic, and it's that thing of mixing the two.
He did that shit on the set too, like with all the little artifacts that he had around. That's right.
Yeah, the little bird thing as well. Perfect. Thank you very much, guys. That was really fun.
Excellent.
Nerd alert.
I like Fassbinder talking about Alien in the same kind of awakening as he had when he watched Wonder Woman for the first time. That's quite nice.
Yeah. I thought you meant the new one.
No. Do you remember when you first saw Alien?
I remember watching around the same period of time. I was far too young. I was probably like 12, 13. Yeah. And my dad had loads of videos. Not those ones. Yeah. He had that.
I've heard about
Ed Hellraiser.
Dr. Wankenstein's dungeon.
One of my favorites. Yeah. The Ass Master. Yeah, so Alien, yeah. It was one of those videos. I think probably watched it when I was off sick from school. And my dad was like, watch this because your mum's not in.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. Loved everything about it. I was scared about it, but in that same way that, I don't know, when you're a kid, you like being scared by stuff. It's lots of kids' TV is like quite scary.
Yeah, but then I think as well, when you're watching, for me, when I was a kid and watching scary stuff, it was in the fact, I liked watching it because it was scary, but I also liked watching it because I wasn't meant to be watching it.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
Huge
illicit thrills.
I remember doing that with Poltergeist, like watching that when I wasn't supposed to, but my dad had a video of it somewhere.
And then you kept going downstairs at night and putting chairs on the dining room table. Who let him watch Poltergeist?
So you saw Alien first then?
I'm pretty sure I did.
So I definitely saw Aliens first.
Right.
And that was because I remember I was being babysit by my grandma.
And she loved it.
She was. I think she'd gone to bed from what I remember. But I wasn't, I must have been like 8 or 9. I wasn't that old at all. And it was just on TV. It was on ITV. And I was just watching it.
I remember watching Aliens on ITV. I remember the promos of Ripley carrying Newt in the water and the tail coming behind them. It was like, that will continue after the news.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they used to do that. I also be like, I've got to pretend to be asleep for another 30 minutes where I could get caught.
The mind is, I just watched it and enjoyed it for what it was, and then afterwards, when I got a little bit older, I found out about Alien. And when you see Aliens, you don't necessarily assume it's a sequel to something.
No,
it's just called Alien.
You just assume it's a shit title for something. Yeah. It's just like, what are these? Well, it's Aliens, isn't it? What's
Aliens.
Cool that? Yeah.
So it wasn't until I was much older until actually, I think it was my dad probably told me to go and watch Alien and then watch that as well. But that's why maybe Aliens resonates more with me. Because
this is the thing, Dale, because like for a while. For a while in our office, it's been this sort of underlying
schism.
Yeah, like coming between us because you prefer Aliens to Alien, which I think is fucking mental.
You're making it out to me more than it is.
Yeah,
it's just an opinion.
I think you're making that more extreme.
It's like, guys,
it's like both, like. I think you're being a bit severe on that because they're both.
You're meant to be on Alien side.
Yeah, but I can prefer one without thinking Aliens is better is mad. It's not like he thinks Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen is a better movie.
Okay, that's fair enough. But I just thought that everybody.
Got very good film.
I thought everybody thought that Alien was better.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think what we can establish is there is a mutual like love for both.
Absolutely,
everybody loves both films, but it's just which one edges it for you.
Yeah.
For me, it's always been Aliens.
So, Krups, you're going to put the case for Alien.
Yeah. So, point one on my list, Exhibit A, Mr. Murphy.
Yeah.
In the case for why. Aliens better than Aliens in the case of Krupa v. Driver.
See, because I really hope you do this good because I was confident before, but I thought you felt...
Do you know how many times I've seen Making the Murderer? I've got this down, mate.
But I thought you'd be as angry as me and Joe are about Dale's...
Joe is really angry and I don't get
He's
that.
Indignant. No, I
Joe's,
feel like...
Joe's an angry man.
I know. The thing is, for me to make the case of why Alien is better, I don't need to put Aliens down because it is truth self-evident.
Nice.
First point is...
Just do some rewrites.
I'm going full Atticus Finch.
Dale's first point.
This is why Alien is
fucking boring.
Have you seen a Rebox, mate?
I do counterpoint against Alien a few times.
Okay.
Ridley Scott took a very hokey, admittedly hokey premise that was pitched as Jaws in space. This was this was probably 6 years after Jaws came out in cinemas.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit later than that, less than that. And it was pitched as Jaws in space to Fox. And they bought it. They wanted basically a cash-in creature feature in the similar vein. And Ridley Scott embraced that. But he said, it might be a silly premise, but we're going to make this look as good as 2001.
Yeah.
And I think it is probably... the best designed movie of all time.
It's mad. Yeah.
It is incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the genius of that is not only is Ridley Scott a graphic designer and he storyboarded the entire movie, he employed two amazing set designers in Ron Cobb and H.R. Giger. And I think the masterstroke was going, you're one guy and you're going to do all the alien stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going to be this other guy and you're going to do all the Earth-based stuff, all the ship-based stuff, which is brilliant in its own right.
Yeah.
But having that divide and not having the same team working on both parts of it meant that the alien stuff feels genuinely alien.
Yeah.
And obviously it helped that they had this crazy genius, Swiss genius, H.R. Giger, design this stuff, which looks unlike anything you've ever seen.
Yeah.
There's a vague familiarity in the alien itself, which we'll get onto. But it just looks completely like nothing you've ever seen on the screen before. And those two things, as well as some great performances, takes this like essentially crappy monster movie in which an alien runs around a ship and just kills people and makes it into an absolute masterpiece.
Yeah. Like Ridley Scott in the bits later on, he talks about like working with him and like seeing like his initial designs, and then like Giga doesn't fly or didn't like to fly. So like he had to like, they had like, we had to ferry him, we had to get him on a train, and he came over to
it's like Dennis Bergkamp. Like,
that is something I did not expect to hear today. Giga compared to Bergkamp.
Both geniuses in their own right.
True, absolutely true.
But it's amazing stuff in the making of when like Giga comes over and he's making the sets himself. He's like spray gunning them. That's incredible. Like the amount of craftsmanship and going into that. He's not just going, hey, that'll do.
Yeah.
It's like making them by hand.
He didn't like some of those sets though when he first saw them. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Because when he saw them, he thought, because obviously a lot of film sets, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and mass. And literally smoke in this one was like a main reason which sort of transformed it into more of his vision. Like, you know, Ridley pumping the sets full of smoke and bringing the lights down and how they're well lit they are.
And it's like laser stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Daniel.
That's Exhibit A.
That's Exhibit A.
Are we going back and forth?
Unless you have a counterpoint to that.
I think
we'll go through it all. Okay.
So your first one was design, right?
Design.
Yeah.
This is an extension of that point, but I think it is legitimate having its own point, is the best monster in all of cinema. And it's the best version of that alien.
I was going to say, because you know Aliens has that monster as well.
It's the best version of that alien. Okay. And, you know, Giger actually disowned later versions of his design. He famously damned the ones in Alien Resurrection, because at the beginning they're very slimy and brown.
Yeah,
he says they took my beautiful creation and they made it look like a turd in a cage. Yeah. And the first alien, because part of it obviously is helped by the limitations, and this is where the parallel with Jaws continues. So, you know, the Jaws shark never worked.
Yeah.
So famously dictated the fact you didn't see it much. Yeah. It only worked one day on set or something like that. Same with this, because it is obviously a dude, a very tall dude, very tall, slender dude in a suit. And to like kind of hide that, they had it in shadow for a long time. But I think the design of the head and the fact that you can peer, like you can see that human skull submerged beneath the black kind of glassy dome.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Because it looks vaguely human if you look deep inside the skull.
Yeah.
So there's something uncanny there, because obviously it's grown out of John Hurt.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's also part machine.
Yeah.
The way that it moves, the way that it has a mouth within a mouth.
I think like that just that last scene where it blends into the rest of the ship, and you're just like, that is disgusting.
And it just like moves. And,
and there's still times now where I watch that film. Like, I haven't seen it for a while, but like, I remember watching it a few years back. Like, the Prince Charles Cinema had Alien and Predator on, and I went to watch that. And there was still parts now where I was like, is that it? Like, even though I've seen the film like a lot
and it's
of times.
Alien Isolation did particularly well in imitating that.
Absolutely,
Where it can blend into the ship.
Yeah.
So it looks kind of animal, it looks like a machine, but there's also this glimpse of the human in it as well. Yeah. And I think there's nothing else quite that gets even close to it for me.
I think the only like counterpoint that I would put to that is there is one shot in it which I absolutely hate.
And that's the event?
Yeah, because like, what it looks like, it's doing jazz hands.
Yeah,
and like that's the only shot that
that's
I
the
just,
human
like,
in it.
Yeah,
it looks big show tunes. It was in a. It was down on LV-426 in an Amdram production of Chicago.
That's why he's so pissed off.
That's why.
Because his understudy's a dick.
Space dropping, fumbled his lines, killed him.
I've watched it recently. So you were saying about, you know, at the end when he's like hiding in the sort of pipework. I don't know that shot holds up as well anymore.
I do.
I feel like he just looks like he's lying down now. It's very transparent what the alien is there. Like, he's very exposed in that shot. And that's one part in the film where I feel like he is exposed. And I maybe would have preferred, like, I don't know. They could have, like, reframed it slightly.
If he could camo like the Predator.
No.
Adding powers.
I agree with everything Krupa said about that. I just think that one shot, he's maybe a little bit too exposed, and you can see, it's the man in the suit then.
Yeah.
But that's looking through it of eyes of 2017 and knowing full well how it's made and stuff. So.
Yeah. Final point.
Yeah.
It is a masterclass in tension and suspense and has probably the most shocking scene in cinema, which is the chestburster sequence. Yeah. And I think it's really hard now to rewatch that film and ever recapture some sense of what that scene and the impact it had and what it would have felt like for original for audiences first time they've seen it. Because it happens like 50 minutes into that movie. Think about the slow build in that movie and having the bravery to do that, to go down to LV-426, having all that character like work early on. And then everything seems all right. They're just having food together. And so many good practical effects bring that scene together. And, you know, the sequences like that in other movies in the series.
Yeah.
But it's never been as good as that one.
And also as well, I feel like they the cast actually touched upon this. They're saying like, they were some of the best actors working at that time. And they're all in this film.
They're all very distinctive as well.
But also like all very realistic as well. Because they were all like, a lot of them like theatre actors come from like a really awesome like realism background. All playing it really real, but obviously in space. And John Hurt, that happens to him. It's like, it's
and also like, I don't, was he like maybe the most famous at the time? We've had more like that sort of classic trick of killing the famous person.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The psycho trick or the scream trick.
Yeah.
He almost wasn't in it as well. They,
really?
they shot several, I think shot a day or two with someone else. I can't remember who it was. Someone else playing it. And then that guy got really sick and then had to leave. So they got John Hurt in like the last second. Apparently like he only like got the script or a phone call from Ripley like, the night before and he was on the set the next day.
Yeah.
Straight in.
Apparently. Which is
so those are my 3 points. Best design movie, best monster in a movie, most shocking scene in a movie.
Yeah.
Cool. I agree with all those points for reasons why Alien is a great film.
Yeah.
My counterpoint to that is yours are all largely based around design and visual, whereas I think
yours is based around banter.
Well, I feel like Aliens is the better story, the better narrative, and although I agree, I think Alien is more of a visual masterpiece, especially because it was, you know, unique and one of a kind. Like Aliens had Alien to ride on top of, but I think just the overall story. Like my first point, for example, is a better cast of characters. Absolutely, think all the Marines for a start. Are just far more interesting characters than anybody on the Nostromo ever was. But mostly is Ripley. I feel like Ripley is far more of a developed character in Aliens. Like in Alien, what do we know about Ripley like halfway through the film? She's a pilot.
Yeah, I think...
But I think that's the good thing, because in Alien, you don't know who's going to be left.
I think that's a good thing from that perspective. Yeah. I agree. It doesn't make for a good character.
No.
Whereas, you don't know she's like the final woman.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Whereas if you look at her in Aliens... At the beginning, she's a tragic character. She's our last survivor, and she's lost her daughter. She's everybody's
in the extended
gone.
Edition, when you find out about her daughter, harrowing.
Yeah,
and they show a picture of his daughter, an old woman.
So
what I've wrote here, journey from scarred survivor to a fearless heroine is what Aliens is, because she's very reluctant to go back to this planet. She doesn't want anything to do with it, but she finds this drive, and the drive is that she wants to exterminate this species. And when she's there, she meets Newt, and then she finds something to keep her going, to push her through and become that heroine towards the end of the film. I feel like it's true, like a development of a character from, like a survivor at the start to a heroine at the end. And I just feel like that's a far more interesting journey than the one she makes in Alien.
I do think, though, I think that is a really good point, but I think you're pointing the better cast of characters. I don't think the Marines are as good as...
Really? So you don't think like Vasquez and Hudson?
I think they're fun. It's fun to watch, but...
I think like Hudson especially is just such an enigma of a character. Because he starts off with all this bravado, all this talk, and then as soon as shit actually goes down, as soon as they meet something like that, he just breaks down completely. But then he also shows some resolve as well, like when he's dying as well, just before that. He starts to it comes deep down from inside of him as well. And maybe it's just I'll have more of an attachment to these characters, but they speak to me. I remember these characters far more than like someone like Lambert, who is very annoying, to be honest.
I forget his name. What's the name of the fucking smarmy suit dude from Weyland Yutani?
Burke.
The guy from Mad About You.
Yeah. He's really good at playing that role.
Yeah, absolutely. And I
identify with him.
I also think Bishop is a really, although I really like Ash as well,
yeah.
I think Bishop is a great character because he plays with your preconceptions of what this android's going to be in this universe.
Absolutely.
Bishop is amazing.
And I think it's an excellent performance from Henrik
Lance Henriksen.
There you go.
Yeah. I interviewed him once when Aliens Colonial Marines came out in New York.
And they got him on that, did they?
Yeah, he was in that. Yeah.
You can get him.
I mean, got him on the press tour. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure he's in the game.
Gav just got a knife out.
Yeah, I think he was in the game for the play to that game.
Yeah.
So I
wouldn't know. It's good because obviously he loves that universe. It was at New York Comic Con as well, so he knows his bread and butter and stuff.
Yeah.
But he seems to like genuinely like it and talks about it with actual affection still, which is good.
Me and Krupa were talking about it the other day. Yeah. Remember in Alien vs. Predator? He was like Wayland.
Was he?
Yeah. And the idea was like he made Bishop after himself. That's not Kellen.
I can't remember any of those films at all.
I know.
I remember one where you order a pizza.
Is there a bit in like the Arctic as well? You remember the pizza bit? Oh, that's a good scene.
Remember a pizza bit where like some kids order a pizza?
No. There's a face hugger inside.
Inside a hat.
What? Oh, who ordered a face hugger? I said no pineapple.
I've completely lost track of what we were talking. It's still Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah, cool. That was a very good point. What else you got there?
My second point is the threat feels more intense in Aliens.
The threat feels more intense.
So I feel like in Alien, a lot of the film is the alien picking them off one by one, but it feels like he's never actively hunting them down. It's like they're stumbling into him. They're going after him all the way through the film. Whereas in Aliens, they're on a planet full of this species and they're constantly being bombarded. Like they set up the room with like the turrets outside it because they're just constantly being attacked. There's that like magnificent shot when they go up into the dock and you see like three of them like scuttling towards you. It always feels like they're on. They're always there. You never know. You can never relax because they could be there any moment. Mm. There's that fantastic scene as well with Ripley and Newt when they're in the room and Burke's let out two facehuggers. Or is it one? Maybe one.
That's a really good one, yeah.
Yeah, and that threat just feels so intense in that scene where, for me, there's nothing in Alien that maybe quite matches that. I'm not sure.
I just feel like there's just terror all the way through Alien. Whereas, I wasn't scared at all by Aliens, but I think, because I saw Alien first and then Aliens after, like, I would have thought I was going in getting like another horror film, where actually you're not. You're getting just a really cool action film.
So, do you think it's a cool action film? Absolutely, there's action elements, but there's like, I think I read somewhere there's not a gun fired for the first hour of that film.
Really?
It's not as action as you think.
In my mind, it's just balls out.
Well, that's because there's that scene in the middle where it's heavy action. And then towards the end, which also leads into my last point, there's heavy action as well. But a lot of that film is, you know, is character and like the tension of the threat, not necessarily the horror moments, but the constant unease of the whenever they're going to pounce. What else have I got? Yeah, so the final battle sequence, I think, is far more spectacular and grand and more fitting of a big film. Like, obviously, Alien is a different type of film, right? So a tense horror film.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I've wrote some notes, whatever. Alien has a cool evacuation scene, right? But then the last scene is largely her, this slow plodding affair where she's like, plodding is a really insulting term. But when she's climbing into the suit and, you know, and then essentially it's her climbing to the suit and pressing a button, right? That's a way to like break it down and take all the greatness out of it. But for Aliens, you've got, so I've written in bullet point form, you've got saving Newt, stumbling upon the Queen's lair, Bishop tease of betrayal, close your eyes, baby, which I think is a great moment, you know, when they think Bishop's gone and the Queen's approaching them.
Yeah.
Then you've got the loader versus the Queen as well. You've got get away from her, you bitch. The final leg grab when she's pulling out through the, what's it called?
Power loader. Oh, the airlock.
The airlock, that's it. And also there's some incredible score around that as well with this great,
James
like,
Horner.
So it's all militaristic, sort of constant thudding. And I just think the whole thing is like a magnificent spectacle that's put together like so memorably, and for me, just Aliens' final like 10 minutes just doesn't resonate as much. So,
that's a good point.
Very good point.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, I prefer the end of Alien. I know, like, it is quieter, but I do like just how it's still terrifying.
Let's get back to the crux of it. Always, we all know they're both great films,
both equally good films.
Yeah.
But they both have Resurrection.
They both have completely different styles, and this kind of forces you a little bit to nitpick the other one. Where that's ridiculous.
So I put it out on Twitter yesterday to see which one was better, and actually, like, surprised by some of the reaction that we got. Some people
all said what I said.
Some people Noel. Some people were quite angry about it.
Fuming.
Yeah. Was that Joe?
Mostly. James Cooper says they're completely different films. and for that matter, genres. You cannot compare them. Apples and oranges.
Well, maybe you should have read that one out before we started the feature.
Yeah. Also, I don't know that they're completely different films. Yeah. Like, obviously, they're thematically a little bit different. But
Aaron Cooper says, Alien is making a perfect sandwich. Aliens is eating that sandwich. I like.
That's
so good. So it's like Alien sets up quite
I'll
a lot of
Alien
stuff.
Alien 3 then.
Well, Chris White says, Alien 3 is sick burping that sandwich. Yeah. Alien vs. Predator projectile vomiting in everywhere. I actually don't think Alien 3
what's
is
Alien,
bad.
What's Alien Resurrection?
Yeah, I don't know.
French sandwich.
I think Alien 3 is reheating that pizza the next day.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Alien 3 it's still good. It's still
Alien
good.
Alien 3 is Googling, can you reheat rice?
it's still good. It's just not as good as it was the night before.
Adam Natra says, Alien is art and a perfect sci-fi thriller horror. Mm. Aliens is the perfect sci-fi action film.
Valid.
Jack Bird says, I don't like using perfect, but in my opinion, Aliens and James Cameron's Terminator 2 are as close to perfect as movies get.
You tripped over yourself there, mate. You don't like using perfect.
You know, all the time.
Used it three times in that tweet. I think, like, when I was a kid, I genuinely thought Terminator 2 when I was like 8. I thought like Terminator 2 was like the best film that's ever made.
Terminator 2 is an amazing film.
Yeah,
we should all go see it together this summer. It's coming back to cinemas.
Good. Is it?
Yeah, it's anniversary.
Oh, hello.
I would love to see that in the cinema.
My dad took me to see it in the cinema.
What?
Like when I was a kid, yeah.
15 or an 18?
It was an 18, yeah. My dad took like the Pontypridd Muni Arts Centre. do not care about age, my friend. My dad just took me to see it. Ryan Leach says, Alien is phenomenal. Aliens is one of the best of popcorn films around, but it's still a popcorn film. So I don't think that's
a bad thing.
No, not at all.
I think
a lot of people are. You know, a lot of people love both of these films. Including us guys. So verdict: they're both great.
They're both great.
Your own ways.
Your own ways. You little scamps. Ruffle their hair. Right. There is another film coming out though, Alien Covenant, which is out by now, so hopefully you guys are going to go see it. So here's Ridley Scott. I got to sit down with him for half an hour. You've got about 22 minutes of it here, where he talks about just, like, the man does not exist on the same, like, planet of thinking as us. It's okay. Amazing. Like, he says what he wants as well. So this chat is going to get really, really spoilery.
Danger. The emergency destruct system is now activated.
He gets quite personal in some bits. Like he heard my accent and started talking about whales instantly. So the first bit you hear is us talking about whales. That's why
Cooper's just shaking his head disapprovingly.
Can't edit it out.
You antagonized him.
But the best bit is when he starts talking about like Jeffrey Dahmer, like he mentions like some weird shark stuff that he's afraid of and like how he hates diving, but when deep diving to impress what I assume is a lady. But he won't go into that. But yeah.
Isn't he like 79? When did he do this?
I don't know.
I feel like it was last week.
He's not like you and I.
So just Ridley Scott just being amazing.
Has the food got any better in Wales?
A little bit. I'll tell you what's got better is the whiskey. Oh, whiskey's really? Amazing in Wales now. We've got really good whiskey.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so that's good. We can talk about Alien if you like, or we can talk about Alien, Wales. Yeah, it's absolutely fine.
Sure.
So after Prometheus, what was your reason to go back and do Alien Covenant?
Oh, after Prometheus. Mm. Well, the whole evolution of Prometheus was to answer the question, who, what, why, and when? Mm. Why that ship? Who was the space jockey? What was in the hold? For what reason? Why would you develop such a biomechanoid weapon? Because I always thought this guy was a weapon.
Yeah.
A cleaning up weapon, a cleansing process. And if you want to clean a planet up, you drop a few eggs and this would happen. Mm. And that was partly answered in Prometheus because we're introduced to a guy called Peter Weyland. Peter Weyland has an AI called David, etc., and that evolves. From out of that, accidentally, we come about creation. We also met the engineers. Mm. The engineers was the guy sitting as a space jockey.
Yeah.
So that was answered. Then I thought, I think I'm onto something. and I left the a lot of questions open in Prometheus, so it would necessitate the making of Covenant.
Yeah, like this is the first film that doesn't have sort of H.R. Giger's direct influence on it.
Sure.
So for the Neomorph, how do you go about sort of designing that without Giger then?
The Neomorph, I had a vision. That sounds pretentious. I have a picture of a goblin shark.
Okay.
The goblin shark, you ever seen that?
No.
It's got two jaw hinges, one here, one here. So this lower part breaks into two and becomes a scoop.
Okay.
So it's flat first, then does that, and it's hinged down from here. It is disgusting.
Mm.
And there's a great piece of footage of a diver with a chainmail protection on there. He goes in on the shark. The shark's only like that, big enough.
Mm.
But it goes for his arm, and the sudden opening of the jaw, there it was.
Yeah.
But what I like was this rather flabby quality to the Neomorph, to the goblin shark, because it has no armor. And you know, the shark is this uneasy color of a dead body.
Mm.
It's white. It's a dead white, and the eyes are dead.
Yeah.
And I thought the Neomorph should be rather like that. So we always revolved around. It'll be physically human because of the combination of the DNA. But what's the rest like is kind of vaguely disgusting.
That's interesting, because I know you also always envisioned Alien as like kind of Jaws in space.
Yes.
So then to go back to a shark as your inspiration is quite interesting.
Well, a shark is, in many respects, so frightening. It's disgusting. It's awful. I think it's awful. I don't like being underwater, mainly because of Steven, I think.
Mm.
I've never been any happy with the water ever again.
Yeah.
And
I'm not happy in the bath, like, because
exactly
of Jaws.
No, I don't like swimming in the sea, because I know there's something underneath it, and I'm bound to be the one.
You really think that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's good. I guess you can get your own back on Steven Slowick. If he ever goes to space, he'll probably be afraid.
Exactly. But, you know, people go swimming in the water around. There's 12 deaths since 2012 in Australia from this part of the beach. And I think 12 deaths in 4 years is a lot.
That is a lot.
I mean, just the idea of being right there next to you in the water. I mean, give me a break.
Have you ever been sort of snorkeling or anything like that?
I used to do deep dives, 90 feet and 100 feet. I would be down there thinking, what am I here for? Why am I here? And I was doing it because, you know, I was trying to impress somebody.
Yeah.
And every morning, the deep dive first, 90 feet first, standing on the abyss looking into the depths.
Yeah.
Where you're past the point of your weight belt, so already you're now starting to sink.
Right.
With the gravity.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't like being here.
Who are you trying to impress?
I'm not telling you.
But I hope it worked, man.
Yeah, but it did. But I thought, never again. No,
yeah.
No. So in a funny kind of way, because David's not human, the original Neomorph looks at him and actually allows it to come close, and the Neomorph would have no intention of killing him because he doesn't smell like a human being.
Yeah,
He looks like one, but he's not human.
Mm.
And therefore, that's why he talks about you breathe into the nostrils of a horse and it will be your friend forever. That's true.
Yeah.
We've got old Indian trick, get a horse.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's a ride lot.
Yeah.
I was told that by jockeys. I was going to be a jockey.
Were you? Could have all been so different.
I was 11. Like a flea on a greyhound.
Is this when you were in Wales?
No, it was post-Germany. I was in Germany, 1947-52. So I really learned to ride in Germany.
Yeah.
German riders are very sturdy, and I learned 4 years of solid riding in Germany.
Right.
Johnny Walker horses. Mr. Mm. Exercise horses.
Oh, wow. Going back slightly to this, like, it's obviously sort of implied thing that he's been using Elizabeth's body to sort of help along his things.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
I don't want to go there. I think about Jeffrey Dahmer's kitchen. That's about the end of it. But you don't want to go there.
No. I guess it's hard because he quite clearly loves her.
Yes.
As well.
Well, did Dahmer love the subjects?
Mm.
I don't know. Have you seen a police pathology book of Jeffrey Dahmer's kitchen?
I have, yeah. It's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. So do you think that in that case then, really, the
I didn't want to go there. I wanted it to be more metaphorical. Like the prologue scene was written as a metaphor for creation and a metaphor for the error and the metaphor for the realization that I've already got a monster. I've given birth to a monster.
Yeah. But I guess, like, through that, he realizes he needs human hosts.
Yeah, you know, one of the big things is to avoid in these films where it's about making robots and things. You don't want test tubes and shit like that.
No.
And steam and bubbling water and crap like that. And you don't want to see them really doing it.
Yeah.
If you can get away in the play without doing it, because, yeah, like, I never see how they actually create Roy Batty, Blade Runner.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a categorical decision not to show how.
Right.
I don't want to see racks of human life forms sitting on racks and shit like that.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that because it's now part of our culture.
Yeah.
Is the feasibility, possibility, and actuality of the AI exists today.
Yeah.
The AI at the moment is like HAL. It's a box and or a washing machine and an eye.
Hmm.
But will they make them like you or I? Probably out of curiosity to see if they can.
Yeah.
For why is a big question, is a good question, because you kind of want to make them not too indiscernible from human life form.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that becomes dangerous,
yeah.
I think.
I thought it was really interesting when you see sort of David's workshop, how, like, one, it looks incredible.
Yeah.
Also terrifying.
Yes.
But at the same time, he's sort of become the guy that David has by...
Oh, totally.
Like, because a lot of those images... Like, were they unused sketches or...?
No, they were drawn and made for the film.
Okay.
But, you know, Giga was a special man, and I got on very well with him. He was very... a good working relationship.
Yeah.
And I think people were... You either see that or you don't.
Yeah.
I saw it, and my eyes nearly fell out when I saw the first drawing, which was in a book.
Yeah.
And that's on that basis, I flew to Switzerland to see him.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't fly, I'm not coming to London. I said, got to get to London. So we brought him there by train and boat. And he lived in Shepperton Studios for 10 months.
Amazing.
Yeah, he was special. But yeah, he was always trying to redesign the thing in Necronomicon. I said, no. That's being decisive. I said, don't touch it. It's there.
Yeah.
My difficulty is making it work because I've got no digital in those days, but I've got a guy in a rubber suit. We did pretty good.
Yeah.
And because then he had to do the chest burst to the face hugger, and also had him honestly design the planet.
Yeah.
And the side of the ship. And the ship.
Yeah.
The ship was so rare and so unusual.
Mm.
That was a special thing. But then in recent years, I used some very good digital artists. And the guy who designed where the flashback happens, and you see the docking vehicle coming into a device, which would be like a docking device.
Yeah.
And that's where he drops the chemical.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty original stuff.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's bonkers. Fantastic stuff, yeah. Californian artist, digital artist.
Right, okay.
Really good.
Yeah. Talking about the Neomorph, what's unique about it that sets it apart from the Xenomorph?
Well, one is armored, like an armadillo. And how the Xenomorph evolves... is a different in a different form condition to the Neomorph. I don't know. It's part of the randomness of the DNA and the birth thing, because it is a birth.
Yeah.
And let's say the Xenomorph, funnily enough, comes out of Billy Crudup, first one. The Neomorph, the two Neomorphs, come out of the two guys who are hit in the grass. There's no real part of the chemistry other than random. A bit like one being born albino, inexplicably an albino, and the other one is normal, right?
The grass scene for me was really interesting. I read somewhere, I'm not sure if this is true, maybe you can sort of debunk it, that there was always planned for aliens to be some kind of grass scene with aliens running through like a cornfield.
Yes.
Which apparently then ended up being used in the Lost World, the Jurassic Park sequel.
Yes.
Or the idea for that.
Yes. So,
but it really felt to me like that was kind of that idea.
You know, actually, no. The one that I really liked was Thin Red Line.
Okay.
Thin Red Line, I thought, was nicely...
Yeah.
There was deep... It felt like deep grass, but it was only this deep. It was in Hawaii, I think. And they had a prevailing wind all the time, which I thought that looked good.
Yeah.
Because I was going to do something called Forever War.
Okay.
And I always fastened on the guys walking through... foliage and vegetation, like long grass.
Yeah.
But long grass in the sense of like reeds you get in a beautifully clear stream.
Mm.
And you see the long reeds are beautiful in clear water.
Yeah.
So it's trying to find vegetation that doesn't look too science fictiony.
Yeah.
but feels like the real thing. Mm. And I think I was surprised that New Zealand worked so well. It was spectacular in the sense of there was nothing there except those mountains and the water. And every time it rained in that valley I was, there'd be 1,000 waterfalls.
Yeah.
They would just hit tarns and spout, like water spouts. So literally 1,000.
That's really interesting.
Or more.
Yeah.
With just tons of water just pouring off.
Wow.
So there's no shortage of water. They have 8 meters of water a year.
Yeah.
As opposed to LA, I think, has 2 centimeters.
One of the things I saw with my colleague, one of the things we talked about in the pub afterwards, we were just sort of like, you know, just dumping all this information on each other, was does David bring Billy Crudup and the crew to his planet, or is it just a complete coincidence they happen to pick up Shaw's
I think thing? It's coincidence that they pick up Shaw's. That was me going for the singer because it was a prayer.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't want a prayer.
No.
And I think I like the fact that she's on a continuum of process to, as any good engineer would. And during it, she's getting more and more bored, but still living in hope that somebody might pick up a signal.
Yeah.
She's just sending out signals.
Right.
And rather than that, I thought a song might be more interesting than a prayer. And so the song that she happened to be into at that moment was John Denver.
Yeah.
I was never into John Denver, but I thought other than the purity of his voice, like a bell.
Yeah.
John was a bit like an evangelist.
Okay.
And I thought it was kind of a nice combination. It kind of worked out really well.
Yeah. I think it's a really nice scene in the movie.
It's haunting.
Where Danny McBride sort of picks up on it because he's kind of playing this
Well, it's haunting.
Yeah.
And you know, her frustration would also come from a yearning to, oh God, I wish I was going back to Earth. You know?
Yeah.
You're stuck in space forever.
Yeah. That's interesting that it's a coincidence, though, because I guess, you know, a lot of Billy Crudup's character, when he's talking about sort of faith and coincidence and things like that, that's really interesting then that actually that brings them to David and eventually the end.
Well, I was very happy with this cast. Yeah. I thought they were terrific. And, you know, Billy's very much theatre background, so is Catherine. And I think they were good with that because there were certain lines I was a bit uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
And what I'd now do, I ask them, what do you think of this line?
Yeah.
You know, I like it. So, okay, thank God for that. And then, can you make it work? Yeah, I can make it work.
Would you have done that on the original Alien?
No, I'd have probably said, I hate the line.
Yeah.
And I'd get rid of it. But I think, no, I can do that. I can deal with it. I like the fact that, you know, it's to me, my best mode really is being partners with my actors. It's a partnership.
It's interesting you said Covenant for you was, you know, answering the who, what, when, and why. Hmm. Was that because after Prometheus came out, you felt like people were maybe unfulfilled by it and you wanted to go back and sort of serve that fan base?
Well, not Alien. Alien, no one asked the question.
Yeah.
But instead, they had a lot of shoot 'em up and shoot 'em out. And I go, hang on, what about all these elements that no one ever asked the bloody question?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
So I just asked the questions.
Yeah.
And from that, it's like a screenplay then is organic, starts to open up. And if it starts from a good question, the chances are you probably can't have a decent screenplay because there's something for the writer to write about as opposed to bullshit. Mostly, a lot of screenplays are bullshit. I mean, I do a lot of work with the writers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can write. I mean, I wrote 3 screenplays before I started and couldn't get going. But actually, the screenplays are okay because they attracted actors like Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah.
And Michael York, for God's sake. I'd written something called Ronnie and Leo, which is about a heist in those days, out of a hotel where Ernest Borgnine was playing a pastry cook. Perfect.
Brilliant.
And Michael York was room service.
Yeah.
And it had gone into this room, big suite, in the Savoy, and in there recognized a couple of, because he'd been in jail.
Yeah.
Recognized a couple of guys from jail, and thought, shit, there's a big job going down here, so they were curious about what the job was.
Yeah.
So it's about Michael York trying to get Ernest Borgnine to come back, because Ernest Borgnine's an old lag as well.
Yeah.
Criminal. So it was about two criminals who'd find. That was, I nearly got that going.
With the Alien universe in particular, like, how aware of you of everything else, like Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection? Is that something that you sort of, that's in your mind when you're going to Alien Covenant?
No, totally, I'm aware of all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted to do Alien Awakening. I said, fine, I was going to be the producer.
Yeah.
If I could have, I would have. Except I do question, why have both out there?
Yeah.
Seems like shooting your big toe off.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, right? But they didn't go forward with it, Fox.
Yeah.
So I kind of just kept out of it.
So
I mean, I'd literally ignited
this
thing to bring it off the ground again because it was lying there in dormant on a shelf. And I had this thing to bring it back up, and here we are.
So yeah, I think I heard you recently saying that the Blomkamp film's not happening at all now. But
well, it wasn't. I was obviously being, you know, encouraging, saying yeah, by all means, and Fox saying, "Do you want to produce that?" Yeah, of course. But it didn't really. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
it didn't evolve. I think it was Neil with Sigourney, because Neil had done something with Sigourney.
That's right, yeah, she's in Chappie, another film of his. Yeah,
Chappie, yeah, correct. Yeah.
There's a video game that came out, Alien Isolation, which a lot of people sort of see as almost like a sequel to your Alien.
Yes.
Do you know anything about the video game? Have you seen any of it?
What's it called?
Alien Isolation.
I think I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not a game person.
Mm.
And to be fair, I tend to, because I'm not into it, tend to think the games are too simple.
Yeah.
Is that accurate? Because I don't want to sit there shooting things
for
4 hours. I said, get off your ass and go and do something. I always remember the beginning of MTV.
Mm.
I used to watch MTV because there were a lot of interesting filmmakers, because I think the videos were better in those days.
Yeah.
Because there were more performance, less performance and more integrated.
David Fincher did Alien 3.
He did the best of the videos at that particular point. And I always used to think that then when that went away, they became just performance videos, which are fine. Mm. But it's nice when the actor's involved in the story as well. Yeah.
Other than your Alien, do you have a sort of favourite? Because I think Alien 3 is brilliant. I know a lot of people don't really get on with it. But
Fincher.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's good. I still was kind of then really wondering why no one had asked this question.
Yeah.
Who, what, why and when, dude?
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead, duh. Flippin' heck. I could not believe that no one was asking the question.
Yeah. And what was the question for you?
Well, what was this spaceship on this planet? Who's the pilot in the seat?
Yeah.
We call a space jockey. What was the cargo? That's a cargo of eggs.
Yeah.
So it was a battleship carrier of some dreadful biomechanoid weapon.
Mm.
Those are big questions.
Yeah.
Which will surmount and over justify any action, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
bullshit.
Do you think, for me, it was really interesting to see David at the end. I wonder, this is what I thought, is maybe that he will have some kind of influence over where Weyland-Yutani go next.
Totally.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? It's all wide open.
Yeah.
It's all wide open.
But, they're still unconnected dots. Do you think, you know, do you have any to go back and connect those?
That's why I'm doing it. So you're asking these questions.
Yeah.
Of course, and we're writing it now.
Right, okay.
As we speak.
Right.
I'll be filming that within 14 months.
You think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you already have a plan in place with Fassbender and things like that?
Well, I think he really likes the film. We like working. It's fun.
Yeah.
I try and make it fun, and I think he likes the fun of it.
Yeah.
And I think if he'll go again, I think he will.
Wow. That's amazing. So you'll end up doing a trilogy of things.
It's kind of... It's good when it's good. If the sequel's good, then it's worthwhile. If a sequel's like... Mm.
And just finally, did you ever think that when you made Alien that you would ever be going back to make 1, 2 and now maybe 3 more films?
Never.
No.
But, I mean, you've got to keep doing things to keep you paying attention. And I think that... I never thought I'd get into sequels. I didn't want to do a sequel of Blade Runner. I didn't want a sequel of Alien because I was arrogant.
Yeah.
In that sense, not arrogant, but why would I?
Mm.
But now we've just finished the sequel of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
It goes out in October.
I'm looking forward to that.
Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Interesting. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That was really good fun. Thank you.
West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah.
The emergency disrupt system is now activating.
So, guys, Alien Covenant. You guys saw it?
It was a film.
It was a film.
Yeah.
Me and Krups got to go see it. We're so lucky and, like, I love our jobs and stuff like that. On Alien Day, which I don't really recognise as a national holiday.
I do from now on.
Yeah,
but should. I did that day.
Because we got to go see Alien Covenant on Alien Day. And when we turned up, it was just us. So we literally had a screening room to ourselves. Like, this beautiful screening room to ourselves. And we just got to
watch it.
Just the two of us.
It's amazing.
I know. It was like,
I think there was also a security guard who has to watch it with us, just looking, behaving. Yeah. Me and Gavin like loading it up, sat at the front, sat opposite ends of the aisle.
Yeah, but like, I the response seems to have been mixed to it. Like, you reviewed it. Like, I have to say, like, I just thought it was a really good film.
Yeah.
Like, there's some absolutely mad stuff happening there. And if you wanted to nitpick, like, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
Because he opens up so much and he asks so many questions, which he says, you know, he just said now in the audio tape, like, he's asking questions that he wants to answer in another film, possibly another one after that.
Yeah. I think it's worth saying that this film does have answers to lingering questions that carried on from Prometheus. Yeah. I think the biggest problem going into this movie is it stands so firmly in the shadow of Prometheus.
Yeah.
Like, you think about how excited everyone was that movie. It was like one of the most hyped movies I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And to come away, going into that movie to think you're going to find out about LV-426 and space jockeys and the Xenomorph and all these things that you've kind of wondered about for, you know, nearly 30 years and to leave not even seeing a Xenomorph.
Yeah.
What? You know, that was incredibly, like, disappointing.
Mm.
But this movie definitely has answers. And it's there are answers that kind of exist within the terms set out by Prometheus.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want something brand new, you're not going to get it. But I think it's a very satisfying resolution of some of that stuff that Prometheus chucked up.
Yeah. One of my favourite things about the film was they took some of the Prometheus bullshit and they managed to twist it and make it work for a new story and actually make it more interesting. It may, if anything, it probably makes Prometheus a little bit more interesting.
I think, like, I watched Prometheus, I've not seen it since the cinema, and then a month ago, you and I were on a flight, and I watched it there, and, you know, going in knowing it's not going to answer all that stuff, you watch it with a different eye.
Absolutely.
You don't have that kind of, like,
I've only ever seen it once.
Like, I'm disappointed because I don't know where the alien came from. And seeing this so shortly afterwards, it makes, well, because we're doing spoilers, it makes the character of David and following his arc really meaningful.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it kind of ties in with other elements. You kind of see bigger connections in the series overall where, you know, androids have been a big thing in that series. And suddenly the existence of David plays into that much more.
Yeah.
And he becomes, you know, he's arguably now not as iconic, but as important for what happens in that universe as Ripley.
Definitely.
Or more so, because he's actually having more of an influence on this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think,
well, now he's, I mean, obviously spoilers, we're going into it, but now he is the key creator of the Xenomorph as we know it as well, which now, makes him a massive part of the story. And also, and his story's still continuing as well.
Yeah, and I think, because Prometheus has a lot of kind of, you know, both films like to wear their intellectualism quite openly, and it's a brash way of doing it, having people quote Shelley and Paradise Lost to other characters.
Yeah.
You know, very often you know what these characters are thinking because they're just saying it, and they're saying it by quoting romantic poets and listening to Wagner. Like, at the beginning he goes, what is this? Oh, it's Wagner, the entry of the gods into Valhalla.
Yeah.
All right. You know, at no point are they just playing that song. At no point does David go, mother, some music, and he play it, and it's a nice little Easter egg. It's like, play this song. So it's like, it's a bit on the nose, but I think they do sell it. Like, I think Michael Fassbender sells that stuff because he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
And I think all that central sequence where I think the movie's most like Prometheus, I think it's flanked by two acts that are more like Alien.
Yes.
That center bit where you go to the city of the engineers and it's like this, where he calls it like a withering necropolis or something like that. And he delivers all that stuff and you go into his weird like Renaissance Frankenstein cave. It's like
Jeffrey Dahmer kitchen,
And you see all these designs and when you, the slow revelation there and he becomes more and more unhinged like Ash and you realize that what he's done to Elizabeth, the way that he's harvested her organs for his creations.
Well, this is the thing, like,
fucking twisted stuff.
It is really twisted. I think that was the thing that I was like, I love talking to Ridley Scott, obviously, but like, that was the thing where I said, like, you know, just exactly what has he been doing to Elizabeth? Because, like, my feelings was like, because of the way that I thought the trajectory of the story had gone was he'd gone there, was doing all this stuff with Elizabeth, then realized he needed more human hosts, which is why he sent out the beacon, like, her.
And John Denver.
Yeah, her John Denver stuff to bring them over.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ridley Scott says no.
Really?
He says, like, it's a complete coincidence because she'd sent out these, she sent out the John Denver stuff, like these signals, and it's a complete coincidence that they pick it up.
So, and bring as it out. Far as David's concerned, he's happy being on that planet, just working on his creation.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Like, but he's waiting for something because he knows it. Because, like, when Billy Crudup stumbles into the basement,
I
love when he just walks up and says, let me show you my creation.
He switches so quickly.
Yeah, he just walks off so calmly and he goes, What's he been waiting for? And it's a real close up of him going, mother.
Yeah. It's so strange. And it's just like, but like Ridley Scott saying, no, I wouldn't like to think what he's been doing to Elizabeth. Like that kind of surprised me. But also at the same time, I kind of don't buy as well, because I'd asked him why David killed the engineers. Hmm. Because if he's, you know, really interested in seeing what these people, what like doing these experiments and stuff like that, surely like one of the awesome experiments to get one of the engineers and put one of the creations and use them for his experiments as well, like rather than kill them all off.
At that point though, had David decided that that's what he was doing? Was he still more like an element of curiosity to him? And then he saw the engineers like humans as weak species to exterminate.
I always think there's like, it's almost that moment when they arrive at the engineer city. Mm. It's almost like a bit of a fuck you to the first Prometheus movie because Elizabeth left on that ship with David because she wanted to go to that planet and find out why they wanted to kill us. And David goes, we're never finding that out. Yeah. And he just drops. It's the ultimate mic drop. He just goes, I love that scene where he just looks at him. It's like tears in his eyes. No, it's like defiance, but they're slightly red. And he just drops it all on them.
When do you think he kills Elizabeth around that time?
Oh, well, she's not in that sequence.
Do you think she's dead already?
I think she has
ship.
To either be imprisoned or dead because she wants to go. She wants the answers.
Yeah.
He can speak their language.
So she dies never knowing the answers.
Or he kills her already.
There's a couple of my favorite sequences in it, but I feel like the docking mechanism when he gets to the engineer's planet is fucking incredible. Like, so stupidly elaborate, but incredible. And like the way that Ridley Scott talks about the designer, he talks about him with the same sort of like love that he has for Giga, definitely, because he's just like this guy who, this like designer, is like absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I love the city as well. Yeah. And
bonkers.
All that.
It just creates something completely alien, just like you're saying about Giga. Yeah, exactly. It's like so alien that we can't like.
You wouldn't be able to comprehend the way that would work. Mm.
And the same actually, where I thought like the ship is amazing. Like I thought the sails that they put up to get like the solar stuff.
Oh yeah,
like that's such a beautiful little sequence right at the beginning.
Yeah, I thought all the ship design stuff. I think that's, you know, it's similar in the first Alien. You've got this proper alien world.
Yeah.
Which David started to like change and cultivate a bit. Yeah, like he's like making it Earth-like. He's planting the crops.
Yeah.
And he's created that garden, presumably, for Elizabeth, because he buries her there.
So there's also the like egg plant things that they step on, and that's, you know, sends a little jumps. Do you reckon that's just like a residue left from
I think it's so highly reactive. It's kind of reacted with the environment and like bonded with it, because it says it wouldn't kill botanical life.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's just kind of merged with it.
Yeah. I feel like as well, like as much as obviously like you've got, I suppose, trust Ridley Scott's like going in and stuff like that, but like the way that he talks about, because like I asked him, you know, why do people react indifferent? He was like, for him, it's, you know, why is someone born albino and someone's not born like that? He's like, I kind of don't buy
that.
Is it
like reacting with the host DNA?
Yeah.
Well, I guess like I guess that kind of tallies with the later version of the alien, which part of its DNA is to latch on to the host DNA and create a unique thing.
Yeah.
Whereas if the parasite is that, I guess that's the essence. Like it blends with the host.
Mm.
Yeah, although in the later ones, they don't evolve as significantly.
I think the later ones are like, I don't think Ridley Scott's seen them.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I think part of me, like, he does not.
Well,
they're not entering in his thoughts.
There's actually a bit where I say, because, you know, we were really interested in this. I said, you know, obviously you created the original Alien. How aware of you of where it's gone after that? He was like, yeah, everything. I've seen everything. I was like, well, what about the video game? Yeah. What was it called?
It's a shame because that's the most like his original thing.
Yeah, I know, that's what I said. Like, but yeah, he that's the thing. I was trying to talk to you about the video game a bit, but he was like, I'm not a gamer, and just completely had written that off. Like, you know, if I'd had more time, that's the thing, you know, 30 minutes is a lot, but if I had more time, I kind of wanted to like sell him on the idea of video games a little bit more, but it was hard. So kind of shut it down, which is good. I thought like the cast were really good. Like I really love... because both of us I really love Danny McBride.
Yes,
I thought like he's just I thought he's just great in it. He fits into that kind of like world.
Although I kind of disagree a little bit. I love Danny McBride in the film, but I think the cast of characters, there's the core like three or so which are really good.
Oh yeah, there's an absolute job.
And then like 700 jabronis that you cannot give a shit about.
Do you not mean you don't like the guy who looks at the ear of wheat and goes, "This is wheat, believe me.
I know wheat." That was the funniest.
Hi, mate. No one's saying you don't know wheat.
Yeah, like, I think like I'm talking about
what
like
you say
the
about
main
wheat knowledge?
The main four, but then the other ones who are just like the other two
the
pilots.
Fodder. Yeah. The two that are up there with Danny McBride the entire time.
Useless. I totally understand, obviously, why you would send married couples on a colonizing mission. Here I understand how that works. Yeah. Let me tell you. But don't put them on the crew.
Yeah.
Put like their significant others in stasis.
Yeah.
And have the crew just out of people. Because also, what are the chances these people have these jobs?
Although to be fair, like you and your girlfriend have very similar jobs.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't.
Med, how is she like? What are you an expert in? Terraforming? Yeah. What are you? I'm a free climbing pilot.
Yeah, that's the thing. I do
no ropes, baby.
Think that is thing. But then
it's a contrivance. But yeah.
You're probably moving those circles.
But I said in the review, like, I do think it helps raise the emotional stakes. Like,
absolutely.
When Franco dies,
I can't
she's mourning.
That.
It's such a powerful sequence. And then obviously that affects her character development.
Yeah.
And then it does make people do dumb shit. Like smart people do dumb shit because. Like when Demon Bride takes the ship down when he shouldn't do.
That's
it's like you're a pilot, you know the tolerances.
Yeah.
But people act irrationally if their loved one is in danger.
I think that was the only thing that I written down. It's just like, this was definitely going to happen when you put married couples on the fucking ship.
Yeah. Come on, Wayland.
Yeah. But I think like I was kind of worried about Danny McBride going in because I didn't want him to be like too Danny McBride in it. But I feel like he's funny when he needs to be funny and he was serious when he needs to be serious.
I think he was funnier in all the pre-release stuff that they did. Like all the like... What were they? The little vignette things where they show, they introduce a character.
He's doing like his last message before going into cryosleep.
So that was really funny. And then in the Last Supper thing, he was quite funny as well. But in the actual film, he's not like overly funny. But I think that in a good way because it's not an environment to be funny. No.
Well, I really like the bit because like I think one of my favorite sequences is the crane sequence where they come back to the ship. I thought that was awesome.
So that's one of the ones.
And then he's like, I can see it.
But he's not even saying anything necessarily funny. It's just his performance and delivery. Like, just his face makes it funny as well.
That's a good set piece. And I think that's the thing, like, I'll quite happily had that in the movie.
That was a great set
and
piece.
I feel like the last bit is just added on a bit and it's a bit like a compacted, like a potted version of the first Alien where it's motion tracking, it's betrayal by a robot, it's claustrophobic corridors, and it's death by Urlok. It's like, and it's her turning into Ripley, sweaty vest and machine gun. Like, it's a lot of the same things again, and I almost don't need
but
that.
But instead
as the
of
ending.
Being a small room airlock, it's that giant
I don't, when she goes, let's take it down to my turf. What? Also, first, early on in the movie, when they go down there to secure stuff, we're like, definitely coming back here at the end. You know, you set up a sequence, you go, oh, yeah, so there's these tension things. And also, I love that she, like, the first one gets stuck.
Yeah.
So they send the other one, they go, when they get there and they go, so you're going to do all the terraforming. So, about the terraforming.
I really like the bit where she's just like, oh, I've got an idea. I'm going to put it in the cab of this car thing. And just like,
that's so weird.
You've seen it smash through stuff
glass.
All film.
Yeah. if that glass is thick enough to endure space.
Although, like, I don't know, when Danny McBride's in the cockpit of that loader thing, he's smashing on that, he doesn't make it through that glass.
He's getting
maybe
close.
At that point, I think,
he's getting close.
He didn't get through it.
Just get him in our car.
Get him in the car.
We're locking him in the car. My dog hates that. It's a hot
crack
day.
Crack a window for him.
He might touch that little bit of metal on the seatbelt when it's really hot.
But no, to be fair, like, I came out of it and I did have questions. I, like, there were some bits where I thought it was a bit pants, but I
think he's good.
It's a good film.
But I knew as soon as I saw it that it'd be massively divisive. There's some reviews out there that say it's the worst film of the summer.
Well, that's
some out here saying it's the best blockbuster since Mad Max. So
there's not
a consensus. And I think it's a good movie. There's amazing stuff in it. I think I'm glad it exists.
I hope I
need to know the answers to some of those questions, but if they have to happen, happy Ridley Scott's doing it.
I hope some of you go see it. If you see it, let us know what you think about it. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. Cooper is spitting out water. He's so excited for what comes next because it is a very special edition of Keyword Countdown. You've don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorize their films by a bunch of crazy keywords. What I've done is taken 5 films, 10 keywords each, and you guys have to guess what that film is. There's also a connection between them, which you get a point for as well. Krupa is top of the leaderboard at the moment.
Not Joe.
It's very close, if it is Joe. But it's very, very close.
They play the same amount of games?
They haven't, and that is something I'm taking into consideration. Don't worry.
Yeah, like, working at averages and
leash out. That's fine.
I've played like 2 games.
Yeah, that's fine. They will be worked out towards the end of the year, before the end of the season.
Just so you know,
that's a final surprise.
Like, the keyword countdown rulings, like we've basically got like Seth Blatter on board.
Don't get him on.
Is that where all the petty cash has gone?
Yeah.
He said he was buying batteries.
Okay. Film number 1. 1 word title.
Aliens.
Gladiator.
Titanic.
Oh, God.
Alf.
Letter. Starts with narration.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q.
Is one of them. No, as in like letters, in reading a letter.
What was the third one?
Starts with narration.
Blade Runner.
Forrest Gump.
Breast fondling.
Oh, Forrest Gump.
Oh, one of my favourites.
Female masturbation.
Oh, Jesus. I thought I knew all those films.
Easy shot. Exorcist.
Biting in a kiss.
Biting in a kiss.
Oh, my God.
Draining a blister.
This sounds like a good one.
Cruel Intentions.
Draining a blister.
Murder of a Child.
Oh, what was that one? Evangeline Jolie.
Playing Piano.
What is this film? The Shining.
Stabbed in the Neck. So those keywords again. Yeah. 1 word title. Letter. Starts with narration. Breast fondling. Female masturbation. Biting in a kiss.
Scary Movie. No, it's one.
Draining a blister. Murder of a Child. Playing Piano. Stabbed in the Neck.
Exorcist.
It is the film Stoker.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I've seen that, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I don't remember loving it.
Oh, I love that film.
Well, obviously, good. Look at the keywords.
Yeah. Film number 2.
Sounds like a delightful family romp anyway.
Yeah. Oh, it's good, man. Film number 2. Oil Worker.
Armageddon.
Alaska.
What's that?
Based on a short story.
40 Days and whatever it's called. 40 Nights.
40 Days a Night.
Wilderness.
What's the one with Liam Neeson and the wolves?
The Grey.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
Well done, Cooper.
Oil
Worker, Alaska. Based on a short story. Wilderness. Survival. Characters killed one by one. Gash in the face. Mauling. Man versus beast.
Gash in the face.
Eaten by wolves.
Oh my God. That's so frustrating.
7 points to Krupa there.
I just kept quiet and thought about it.
Oh, no. Film number 3. Rostov, Russia.
What?
It's a place in Russia, I suppose. made me laugh.
Goldeneye.
Street Fighter.
Wife slaps husband.
Mission Impossible. Blade 2.
Naked Corpse.
Blade 3.
Policeman Trinity. As protagonist.
No idea.
Number in title.
7.
Suspicious Husband.
12 Monkeys. That's Suspicious Husband.
Following Someone.
God.
Torture Room. Mud Wrestling. Final clue.
These are tough.
Murder of a Child.
Again.
Rostov, Russia. Wife slaps husband.
Girl with Dragon Tattoo.
Naked Corpse. Policeman as protagonist.
The Russia thing is.
Oh.
Suspicious Husband. Number in title. Following Someone. Torture Room.
Hannibal.
Mud Wrestling. Murder of a Child.
No idea.
These are hard this week.
What's that?
Child 44.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
No, never film. I've it's not all right. Seen.
They're hard because of the
theme.
Because of the theme.
Yeah. Is it Gash in Face?
Murder of a Child, I think.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I think a child does get murdered in the grave. So.
What a lovely theme.
But, before, but that's not even the theme. Just a bit of fun.
It's a lame motif.
Fun little Easter egg.
It's a little motif in this week's podcast for you.
Brilliant.
Here we go. Film number four. Also, remember, guys, never be disheartened by not getting it because that makes it fun for the people at home.
Yeah.
Because then they can pretend they're just like you. Film number four. Army Rangers.
G.I. Jane.
Prison Escape.
U.S. Marshals.
Escape Plan.
Army Ranger. Oh,
Shawshank Redemption.
Raised Middle Finger.
Connor. Oh.
Three Card Monty.
What?
Three Card Monty.
Mental Ward.
Oh my God, what's it called?
GMC Minivan. That's a big one.
A-Team.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well done, Cruz. 5 points there.
That's a big one.
No idea what the theme is for this, by the way.
Helicopter Battle. Light in a Cigar, based on a TV series, Fear of Flying. So, Croops, you've got 12 points there altogether. Last film. Okay.
You sure?
Well, no, it's because I don't write down the names of them on there, so I just have to do it by memory, and I did these yesterday. So I was just like, oh, mate, you should have seen me earlier. That first one, I was just like, what the fuck is that? Anyway. Last film, guys. Secret Identity.
Superman.
American Civil War.
Summersby.
Male Reanudity. I love Summersby.
Next week, Summersby special. Male Reanudity.
Yeah.
It's a bit in Summersby. It's because Jodie Foster and Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the bit was just like, you're not Richard Summersby. It's like, how do you know I'm not Richard Summersby? Because I never loved him like I love you.
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
It's in the heart, isn't it?
Oh.
That's a bit like Mad Men, actually.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
Male Reanudity.
First one's American Civil War.
Throw me off of American Civil War.
Secret Identity. American Civil War. Male Reanudity. Killing a Snake.
Dances with Wolves. That's not Civil War, is it?
Johnny Reb.
I can't think of any Civil War.
Celebrity Criminal.
Oh, no.
Shot in the Hand.
Django?
Free Tent of Yuma.
Shot in the Back. Shot in the Nose. Cowardice.
Assassination of Jesse James, whatever it was called.
By the coward Robert Ford.
Yeah. I can't give either of you. I don't know who I can give that to. He
oh, said give after. It to me. Hot. Jesus Christ. I set that up. He just finished it off.
I'll give you each half a point for that.
That's bollocks. I gave him the grey earlier.
I'll give you,
I didn't even contest it.
You did give him the grey though. That's different.
I gave him the inspiration for the grey.
I'll give you each half a point for that, right?
This is fucking bullshit, mate.
And then the last one was Assassination. It's Assassination Jack
James. I don't know. That sits on easy with me.
Yeah?
Yeah, that sits on easy with me.
So will you give the point to him?
How many words did we say?
You said the assassination of Jesse James. You said by the coward Robert Ford. Fuck.
Oh, whatever.
It's fine.
Whatever.
I'll take three.
No.
Don't care anymore, Gav. I don't care, mate.
If you don't care, I'm having off.
I'm having his off. That's Keyword Countdown for another week.
Theme.
Do you know what the theme was?
I haven't a clue.
I thought it was going to be something alien based, but apparently not.
Something to do with.
Yeah.
Ozymandias?
No. It's good, very good guess.
I thought it would just be something really
very
weird
good
like
guess.
That. Or
no,
Shelley
it's
or.
Really, no, it's really.
Something to do with Ridley Scott in some way. Something he's inspired by, or inspiration for Covenant, maybe? Or I don't know.
Nope.
What is it?
Ridley Scott produced all those movies.
Oh. So something to do with Ridley Scott.
Yes. I'm so in.
I hope you really enjoyed this podcast because we enjoyed making it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com, and we shall see you next week.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.